Nope. Move my microphone a little closer today. Hey, good morning, everybody. Really good to be here with you. Let me just kick on some comments and see what if we close chat. There we go. Good morning. Good to see you guys here. Digging in today. Thank you. Thanks for being here. All right, let's get going. We're going to go in a little bit deep today. Don't we? I mean, that's what I'm surprising myself with most about this is how deep we're able to go in basically 20, 21 to 24 minutes. It's kind of fascinating to me. Let's hit this up. The world is massive and it's tiny. We are superheroes and we are invisible. We are the creators who light up a stage and we know darkness. As creatives, we exist in a world where conformity has been installed since kindergarten. You still know what and how to reply to a teacher when she says, "Good morning, boys and girls," right? Of course we know that. School was always about the rules, the following the steps, the order which you got your answer. The fear that if you didn't do it right, you'd be punished and someone else would be rewarded. This was originally a perfect design, created in order to prepare youngsters for their unavoidable future, working in a system that required rules, steps, order, and hierarchy. So as adults, now as adults, in addition to sneaking out of the system so that we can create our widget, so that we can do that which matters to us, so big. God, it hurts even to say. We have to sneak out of the system so that we can do what matters to us. We're also required to then show up and sell that creation to the masses. The ones who, for the most part, followed the rules and stayed between the lines. And of course, there are people who can do it for us, agents, bookers, managers, but that's an outgoing institution. We still have to face that moment of truth when we sell it to them, even if we do happen to find someone to sell it for us. But more probably, we have to sell it to a random audience or a target market or a bunch of strangers who have gathered to do something else. And we interrupt them online or in person. There's a point in our journey when someone else has to see it and say yes or no. With our project in mind, as we've had for the last 20 days, we now know why we do it, who it's for, what it's for, when and how to do it. We're left with one question. Where do we do it? Where do we do it? Today, we will take fast action on deciding exactly where we must pitch our offers because just like the other questions we answered, the right places will see us instantly for the gifts we bring as what they've been waiting for, while the wrong ones will be wondering why we didn't just stay in school. Ooh. So, you know, it's interesting. Where should I sell my act is so often the first question that people ask me. Where should I sell my act? Like as if they know if they're suddenly bombarded by 100 prospects, they'll know exactly what to do. We had to do all the work we've done to get here. You know, the why, the what, all those other W's. We did all that and even looked at the how. Where is what we save for the end here? Most of those people have usually tried to sell to the places of their hopes, you know, that they imagine and fallen short of their hopes. What is important? Where is very important because it's tied to our income potential to some extent, right? Either immediate in a form of a paycheck or future vis-a-vis contacts, networking opportunities. Where is very important? Where is also important because it has to be acceptable to you as a creative. Take a second to think about that while I call my throat. It has to be acceptable to you as a creative. You know, I'm still haunted by something I did, I don't know, man, early 90s on the Playboy channel. As a young juggler, I didn't care where I worked. Wasn't that important. You know, I just saw an opportunity. I said yes to everything. So I guarantee you this would be the first clip that somebody digs up, that some creative person digs up if I ever decide to run for an office, which I can't do because I watch about an hour of news a year. I'm clueless. So, yeah, what is acceptable? Boy, that piece, it was so haunting, and it seemed it was completely somebody else's. So that was aware that failed. I mean, that was aware where I just said yes. So that acceptable to me as a who just wrote that conjure? Yeah, to me as a creative, that's huge. We're gonna look at where today. So there are really two categories for where, and wrap your brain around these. There are those that we know about. Whatever we've been working at for the last bunch of years the things we've done. And then there's this other category that we don't even know exists. And that's the far more interesting where. We're going to dig into that today, and I'm going to show you're not as far away from that as you might imagine. Both are so important to stay aware of and open to, all right? Aware of where we're working and aware of those possibilities, and then open to them when they come. Because there are times in your life, I can guarantee it, you've already experienced both. You've already experienced these bigger experiences that you, can you say that? You've already experienced these bigger opportunities that were there to carry you to the next level. Did you take them? Did you retreat? It's the stuff I talked about at the top. You know, we know how to show up and we know how to hide. That's the tightrope we get to walk. So one is the expected place. You know, it's the gigs we've already been doing. We all can or currently do that quite easily. It's easy stuff for us. The other is the outlier opportunity, the place where someone connected a pair of dots that you didn't even know were hovering in your reality. This was the first time I got a call from a guy named Richard Saul Werman. He was the creator. He's the guy who had the idea back before it was ever online, before there was online for something called the TED Conference. He called me. It was 1999, called and said, somebody saw you guys at an event, called me in the morning and said, I have to have you at the next TED Conference. And I was the idiot in the days. Times were very flush in 99, with a lot going on. And I said, oh, we only do a handful of, he said it didn't pay. And I said, we only do a handful of free shows a year. And we're all booked up for this year. Brilliant, right? Untrue and brilliant. I wasn't quite into the honesty the way I live now. I said, I just wanted to get off the phone. And he had the greatest line in the world. He said, let me FedEx you a package. And if you still feel that way in the morning, call me. And got the package, saw pictures of biggest people in the world launching their products. And this was before online. It was basically a little billionaires boys club. And it was in Monterey in a beautiful hotel. And Martha Stewart was going to be there, and Jeff Bezos, and you know, all these people coming to this one. And this is the thing I said no to yesterday. Jeff Bezos, who had just started a little unknown thing called Amazon to some extent. Yeah. So anyway, from that moment forward, I trusted myself to appear anywhere. Didn't matter. So that's the invitation we're going to dig into a little bit today. Was there something in your past? And can we identify it, and can we still leverage it? So expanding your comfort zone with where you offer yourself is a matter of leveraging every single opportunity you have or have had in your past. And it's not hard. It's way easier today than it was if you go back 10, 20 years. It's kind of like fishing in a barrel nowadays, believe it or not. So connections, recommendations, reviews, referrals, submitting ideas. This is huge in today's world with online marketing and in-house marketing departments. Didn't exist back in the day. You had to be touched on the forehead by someone who said, now's your time. That doesn't exist anymore. There's a 16-year-old upstairs getting ready for school who has a contract with with a major company. He's had a contract with a major company because he just reached out and offered an idea. All of those are the fuel you'll use to take your where from where you're currently doing it to where you can be doing it. It's big. Let's dig into the action piece of this. Let me see if there's any questions right now. Yeah, turning down Ted. Great moment. That was the first. We ended up getting to do five more. So I believe Raspini Brothers at six are the most appeared people on the main TED stage, which is kind of a cool thing. Amazing. And never having invented or cured anything. We always had the great spot of entertainment, which was nice. Sadly, TED, what did they tell us? They publish one performance for every 600 TED Talks. So we're lucky to have one online. I have DVDs of the rest, but boy, not really allowed to share those. And one day maybe they'll go, oh, let's put up that Raspini one. Yeah. So anyway, let's dig into the action piece today. I want to invite you guys to bring up a where in each category, just a representative one, you know, and representative one in the ones that you're used to working. Of course, they're easier to pull out, but find something in your life that might've had the opportunity to be an outlier, what I'll call an outlier. You know, they're the things that you can't count on, but something popped up. Come up with what that might be in your head. And then while you're doing that, while you have those down on paper, I want you to look back to our feedback loop that we did a handful of days ago and we've touched in on. What did I do well and why was it good? What did I do well and why was it good? And then what generally, and then what specifically could I have done better? And why would that have been better? Remember our what, why? We did that feedback loop. So for now, for the sake of our time together, take just a note on what the event was, what the opportunity was, where was it? You know, maybe it was a Hee Haw's Comedy Club for the regular one. And for the outlier, maybe it was a Presidential Command Performance. Let me do that. I got to do one of those in 1988 for Ronald Reagan. Outlier. You know, a few months before that, I was wearing tights at a Renaissance festival. Outlier opportunity. And the feedback loop from it is gold. All right, so let's just take a second to note a couple of pieces here. Maybe the what, why, maybe the what, why, if something comes up to you quickly about the common opportunity and the outlier. I'll give you 10, 15 seconds for that. Again, this is your work afterwards. This is your quick action for the day. All right. All right, here's the quick action piece we can do almost immediately. Gather up the name or names of people who are responsible or key in that common opportunity and in the outlier opportunity. Scribble down those names. I know you know them. Know you know them. This is the kind of stuff that stays in entertainers' brains. Awesome, Danny. God, I love reading that comment from Danny there. Ooh, that's a really good one. Good on you, man. It's a dude taking risks. Actually, the risk, and I'm going to cover this in the question at the end. The risk for Danny on that one would have been not doing it. In fast action, what we do is we shift the default from thinking that's risky to the fact that staying here is risky. Because we get to be here one time. We get to be here one time in this body, in this life. All right, so gather up. You got those names from each category? Here's my challenge. Here's our fast action today. And this is without overthinking. Connect with that person in some way. Perhaps use our memory or event template. What was that on day five? Day five, we taught that. Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's picking up your phone and doing a really simple text message. Maybe it's a combination of the two, picking up your phone, doing a text message of the memory or event template. There's no rules. We're not in kindergarten. We're not saying, good morning, Mr. Duncan. We're not doing that. So that connection, that simple reach out, is about connecting dots. All right, it's about you saying, this has been forgotten, I remember it, I'm reaching out for it. And then when we get those people on the phone, this is a place in designing today's fast action that I realized, oh my gosh, Showbiz Blueprint alumni are totally set on what to do. And there's about 50% in here who don't know what I'm talking about. So that's something for you to consider. How you connect with this person, that's the blueprint that I show. And I want to ask you other guys just to trust yourself. All right. Bottom line is when you do connect with this person, you're going to listen a hell of a lot more than you talk. What's important to them? What's going on for them right now? What challenges are they having? What do you know from looking at news and industry reports, blogs, videos of what's happening in their industry? What ideas are you able to connect for them to say, hey, if we do this, your audience will feel and understand that? It's mind-blowing. It's way better than picking up the thing and saying, hey, I'm out of work, or whatever that turns into. So don't overthink it, and don't start imagining a future that you know nothing about. All right, those are the two lockups that happen right at this point when you get a challenge like this for a fast action. You start overthinking it, or you start projecting about what it's going to be like if I do this. Death. I'd said somewhere a couple days ago, and I've been so thinking about it, in one of these meetings, I said, you know, I bet you about 2% of our stories are exactly true the way we imagine them. And those may be really simple ones, like I'm going to get up and brush my teeth right now. We may have a really high percentage on nailing what that's going to be like. But boy, if we're doing that projecting out, all right, that fear on something that we have know nothing about, we're getting back to where Danny talked about a second ago, and I mentioned the fear is staying still. The fear is not calling that person, not proposing, not pitching. There is nothing dangerous with reconnecting with a past client. Zero. In the real world, it's a blessing. It's a gift. It's a connection point. It's a bit of humanity in a world that's driven way too much electronically. So that's the challenge. That's a fast action for you today. Yeah. So challenging yourself to up the game, it's exactly what you've been doing, maybe on a subconscious level, maybe on an unconscious level, ever since you signed up to step out of line. Maybe that was young in your school years, maybe it was as an adult. But the second you decided that I'm not going to be, well, where's that great slide? Is it this one? No, I'm not going to be this guy anymore. The second you decided that was your path, to some extent, you've been challenging yourself to do exactly the fast action I'm challenging you to do today. Connect, offer, listen, be creative, and propose. It's big stuff, man. So I'm asking you to take fast action today that will throw some fertilizer onto a dormant piece of your history so that you can then see a beautiful harvest in your future. It's big. And not surprisingly, today's question cracks me up, ties right into this. And it's from Colin, who has done so many amazing questions for us. I just trust him. I think if I do this again, I'll just say, Colin, throw 21 questions this way about what's going on, because it's very universal. And I know there are a couple other questions. Sorry, you can't think of an outlier? Dude, I know almost nothing about your career and I can think of an outlier for you. So follow up with me on that. That's hilarious. It's so common though. You know what? I say it's hilarious and it's the default because our brains, our lizard brains won't allow us to even see the outliers, see the possibility. Yeah. So there's lizard brain work to do, you guys. Every swipe we take at it digs into it. All right, let me play this question.
Hey Barry, how do you stop yourself from worrying about bad future outcomes that probably won't even come true? Thanks.
Swear I had this lesson written before he wrote that question in, because I think that one came kind of late, but it's moving along. It's funny. I can tell he's engaging in the 21 days of fast action because as I outlined this, the tank of commonality of how he's been existing, of what the norm is, has been rising, and there's less air. So I think Colin's been tuned in at every step. Like, I got this much air. I need to ask this one. And yeah, and then this one, the wonderful place right now of projecting out the bad future. I'm gonna happen. All right. So one of the great things I do, Colin, this is awesome. I actually take conscious time to look at past outcomes that did or current outcomes that are coming true, bad ones that have in the past or currently are coming true because I played small and worried about future outcomes. Does that make sense? I can always look to opportunities that aren't quite here or situations that have come up because I didn't play bigger at the time when I told myself a story about how something was going to go if I did something. Every time, I can always do that. We can all do that. So what do we do? What do we do? How do we trust ourselves to stay forward? Danny brought it up great earlier in a comment. We stay in the place of knowing that if we play small, if we tell ourselves a story, we're going to be stuck in that same container. The only way out is by taking this risk, which isn't a risk. It's just walking on a path that's been presented to us. Whether somebody else presented it or we said, I want to walk down that path, we have to stay in that place of knowing that is the only way forward. Look, you guys, at the end of this day, at the end of this life, we will only be the pile of memories of impact that we had. And no one will remember us for the times that we talked ourselves out of doing something. Maybe a close spouse, maybe a confidant, maybe a therapist. That's not who you want remembering you. What's the impact you can make on the world by simply saying yes to an opportunity that scares the living shit out of you? Or doesn't. Even the stuff I asked you to do today, to step in to a past opportunity that you had, check in with them, say hello, use a memory or event template just to connect with that person. Have a conversation, find a way to make their life go from sad to glad, from hopeless to huge potential. That exists inside of all of us, and the levels may look like this, or it may just be gigantic. The levels to have impact are all over the place. Dive in. Know that staying set is the only risk you could possibly take. Staying where you're at. Stagnation is the worst risk in the world. It never pays off. All right, you guys, I'll see you tomorrow for day 21. Again, a quick plea, send me anything that's changed in your life that you said yes to when you would have normally said no, an action you took, a conversation you had, a new thought, anything. I'm doing a compilation for tomorrow and I can't wait to share it with you. And I also have a wrap up and, of course, a call to action to make it 21 days of constant fast action in your life. I will talk to you guys soon. I'm blessed beyond words to be here. Have a great day.